The fourth parak starts out with Mishnah Aleph, which is going to further hone in the concept of when we are at the Zrika phase of the Korban, what is considered a psul of chutz lizmana, which will make the korban a pigul. So the Mishnah says as follows, when talking about the zrika of a korban, beishamai omrim, kol hanitanin al mizbeach achitzon, when it comes to the mizbeach achitzon, which is the normal mizbeach, which was in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, all of the zrikas that were done on that mizbeach, she'im nisanan matana achas kiper, even though certain zrikas, certain types of korbanos will require one spritzing, and some require two, and some require four. But even if you didn't do two or four, as long as you did one on almost all the korbanos, according to Beis Shammai, you are still going to have a kosher korban. So that's what it's saying one more time. Beis Shammai omrim kol hanitanin al mizbeach achitzon, all the zrikos that are done on the mizbeach achitzon, the outer mizbeach, shim nesanan matana achas, that even if you didn't do all the zrikos, you just did one zrika of them, it's still kiper, it's still going to be a kosher korban, it's going to count as a korban for the person bringing that korban. The one exception, according to Beis Shammai, is of a chatas shtei matanos, a korban chatas, that's the exception of the rule. You are going to require a minimum of two of the zrikos to have a kosher chatas. Ubeis Hillel omrim, Beis Hillel is even simpler than that. Av chatas shenesana matana achas kiper. Even the korban chatas, it has the same halach as all the other korbanos, even though some require four, some require two. Bottom line is, even on those korbanos, if you just did one zrika, it's kiper. It's going to be a kosher korban. So what is the ramification of that for the psula pigul? The ramification is, we just have to look at the first zrika. Did the person who is doing the zrika, the kohen doing the zrika, did he have proper thoughts or improper thoughts on the first zrika? So if he had a thought of chutz lizmano on the first of the zrika, even for a korban that you have to do two or four, but on the first one he had a proper thought, and the later ones he didn't have, he had thoughts of chutz lizmano, that's still going to be a kosher korban. It's not going to be a kipigol. So accordingly, the fichach, accordingly, let's apply the reisha to our concepts of the psul of chutz lizmano. Again, chutz lizmano, the psul is when somebody, in this instance, is doing the zrika, but he has in mind chutz lizmano that either the emurim, the innards of the animal, are going to be burnt on these mizbeach outside the proper time, not today, but it'll be done tomorrow or some later time. Or he has in mind the chutz lizmano is that the eating of that, the meat of that korban, will be done not in its proper time, but later. So accordingly, the fichach in nasanes rishona ketikna vetashnia chutz lizmano, if the first rika was done properly, he did not have a chutz lizmano thought on it, he had good thoughts on it, but the second zrika or thereafterward, then he had the chutz lizmano thought, because the first one was done correctly, kiper, it is a kosher korban. Continuing, nasa nesa rishona chutz lizmano, how about if the first zrika, and it's all what we care about, is the first zrika, and on the first zrika, he had a machshav, his thoughts were chutz lizmano. That's the problem. That creates a pigul immediately. Even though he had, on the second zriki, had a chutz limikomo thought, and we would think that, oh, now it's not just a chutz lizmano thought, he also has a chutz limikoma thought, we would think it's not a pigul. No, it's still going to be a pigul, because when it comes to the zrika, we just look at the first spritzing, the first zrika on the mizbeach, we'll decide whether it's a pigul or not. And accordingly, if we do have a pigul, because on that first zrika, he had the thoughts of chutz lizmano, v'chayavin alav kares, if somebody would eat the meat there afterward, he would be chayav kares. Mishnah Beis moves us from the mizbeach that was outside in the courtyard into the mizbeach that was inside the heichal. So in the heichal was an additional mizbeach, the gold mizbeach, and on that there were certain chataos, korbanos of chatas, that had their zrikas done on the inside, not on the mizbeach, on the outside. Now this was a very different concept than the korbanos we just discussed in the prior mishnah. Here, when you need to do a zrika on the inner mizbeach, one doesn't help. If you require more zrikas, you need to do all the mizrikas. And if you're missing any of them, any of the zrikas, it's not going to be a kosher korban. Accordingly, the corollary of that is, in order to have a pigul, it's not that you just have to think chutz lismano on the first of the zrikas. To have a pigul, you need to think chutz lismano on all of the zrikas, because all of them are indeed required. So Mishnah Beis says as follows, kol hanitanin ala mizbeach hapnimi. All of these zrikas that are done, and that pertains to certain korbanos chatas, on the inner mizbeach that's in the heikal, echal shim chisar achas mina matanos, that if one of the zrikas was missing, look, keeper, it's not going to be a kosher korban. Lefichach, the consequence for that is when it comes to a discussion of pigul, the nasan kulam kitiknan, if you did all of the zrikas properly without having a thought of chutz lismano. But the achas shelo kitikna, but for one of them you had an improper thought. You had a chutz lismano thought. So one of them you did wrong, or a number of them you did wrong, but not all of them. Not all of them were chutz lismano. So you had one chutz lismano, two. Not all of them. Accordingly, it is pasul. You have invalidated that korban, because in any of these rikas, you had a chutz lismano, but it doesn't become a pigul until you have a chutz lismano thought on each of the zrikas, because each of the zrikas are necessary for it to be a kosher korban. So pasul, if you just had it, improper thought on less than all the zrikas, it's not going to be a kosher korban. Ve'ein bo kares, and if there's not going to be kares for somebody who eats of that meat, to be a true pigul, you need the chutz lismano thought on all of the zrikas. And the Bar Tanura explains as follows, why is there no karis if you didn't think about chutz lismano on all of the zrikas? She'ein mefaglim b'chetzi matir. What that means is the matir, the item that permits this korban and says it's a valid poor korban, is the dam, is the blood. And when it comes to the zrikas of the mizbeach hapnimi, you need all of the zrikas to be proper, so you can't have a pigul on if you have a chutz lismano thought on chetzi matir, only literally half of the sprinklings, or in other words, on something less than all of the sprinklings. So unless you have the chutz lismano on all of the sprinklings, we are not going to have a pigul. If you have it on less than all of the sprinklings, it's not a pigul, because it's only would be a pigul on a chetzi matir, and we don't say there's a pigul on less than all of the matirin, less than all of the zrikos. Mishnah Gimel is a somewhat complicated Mishnah. What we're going to talk about are the various types of korbanos that are not pigul if somebody eats them. So let's just take a step back and give a general principle, a general rule as to what parts can be pigul and what parts cannot be pigul. And what we're going to look at is the korban shlamim, which is the source for learning the halachas of pigul. So it works like this. On a high level, if there is an item of a korban that acts as a matir, that permits other things, if somebody eats that matir itself, there is no pigul on it. But the items that it permits down the line, somebody eats it and there was a pigul on the original korban, then when they eat those other items that were permitted by the earlier item, then there will be a chiyuv of kare. So, for example, to make it a little bit more tangible here, we have a zrika on a korban shlamim. Somebody brings an animal, korban shlamim, and does the zrika with the chutz lismano thoughts in mind, those terrible thoughts, chutz lismano, that either he's going to be eating the meat, chutz lismano, or he's going to bring the emurim on the mizbeach, chutz lismano. If the person in that situation, the would eat the blood that is used in the zrika, the blood itself, matir something down the line. So if he had the thoughts on that blood and eats the blood, there's no chiyuv pigul on the blood itself. The blood is the matir. It permits other things down the line, but it is not something that has a matir before it. So the blood, no pigul. But if he eats the items down the line, for example, if he ate the meat that came from a pigul korban, came from the pigul because he had the chutz lismano thoughts on the zrika, on that blood, then he's going to be chayev on that. So the concept here is the matir itself, like the blood, if somebody eats it, there's no chiyuv of pigul. In other words, not a pigul, there's no chiyuv of kares. However, if an item is matir something else, that got matir, that got permitted, then we will have a chiyuv of kegel, chiyuv of karis, if somebody ate it. So let's go to our Mishnah and walk through. Ve'elu dvarim she'ein chayavim aleha mishum pegel. These are the items that if somebody would eat it, they would not be chayav karis because of pegel. And we're going to have a whole list. Hakometz v'halavona. So the kometz and the lavona, we're going to treat those together. And these work as follows. If somebody brings a korban mincha, not so much the subject of our masechta, that'll be the next masechta menachos, but we'll just call it a korban mincha, a flour offering. And the way that this flour offering would work is that the kohen would take a part of the flour that was brought to him through the process called a kemitza. That's the kometz. The part that was left inside three of the middle fingers of his hand, that's the flour that he took that we go on the Mizbeach, and the rest would be given to a Kohen to eat. So based on this, that Kometz, that amount that was put on the Mizbeach, that is the Matir. That is like the blood in our Zrika that permits the rest of that flour to be eaten by the Kohen. So accordingly, the kometz itself, so somebody would eat that, the amount of the flour that was taken by the three middle fingers of the Kohen, there would be no chiyuv pigul on it, because that itself is the matir. On the matir itself, we don't have a chiyuv of pigul, but what it permits, the rest of the flour, if that original flour, the kemitza, was done with a chutz lizman thought, and somebody then eat the rest of the flour, that would be a pigul and chiyuv kares. So the same thing applies to the lavona, that's the spices that was brought together with this korban, this mincha, the kometz and the lavona. They both act as the matirim, permit the eating of the rest of the flour to the Kohen. So the one who eats the kometz and the lavona itself will not have a pigul, but what they permit, the rest of the flour, there would be a pigul. Continuing, v'hakatoris, these are spices that are brought for an incense offering. They don't require any matir before them. They're a standalone korban. Accordingly, there's no pigul. Minchas kohanim, the Bartinu explains, this was the korban mincha that would be brought by a kohen. Just in contrast to what we just talked about before, when somebody brings a korban mincha, that part of it is kometz, it does a kemitza, and part is put on the mizbeach, and the rest of it is given to the kohen to eat. When a kohen himself brings a korban mincha, the entire thing is put on the mizbeach. So there's no matir for it. It's a standalone korban. So accordingly, because it wasn't permitted by something prior to it, if somebody would eat this mincha of the kohen, there would be no pigul. Minchas kohen mashiach. This is a korban mincha that's brought by the kohen gadol. Also, the whole thing is brought on the mizbeach. It doesn't have a matir that comes before it. Nothing permits it. Accordingly, there's no pigul. And then minchas nesachim is many of the mefarshim take that out of our mishnah. That'll be subject to a machlokis later on. Behadam. This one should be easy to explain. The blood. If somebody ate the blood itself, as we explained before with the korban shlamim, this is the matir. Nothing else matirs the blood. When somebody brings the blood, either from a korban of an animal or a bird, it matirs something else. It matirs the eating of the meat, for example. Accordingly, because the dam is the matir of something else, if there's a pigul on this korban and somebody ate that dam, there would be no chiyuv karis for eating that dam, because it's the matir. It has nothing else that matirs it beforehand. And continuing in a similar vein, v'hanesachim habayim bifnei atzman, divrei Rebbe Meir. So this is talking about a korban nesachim, that's wine or flour, both together, that would be brought by itself. If somebody is bringing a nesachim, this is brought by itself. It has no matir before it. It accordingly, or it could be as well, not only, this is what the Bartunur says, that even somebody is giving a minchas nesachim without a korban, or even when you bring it with a korban. So you bring a korban and some korbanos, they require to bring a nesachim also, wine or flour, and flour together. And because, according to Rebbe Meir, you don't have to bring the nesachim component of that korban together with the korban itself, with the animal, you can separate them. I can bring the nesachim the next day. Accordingly, there is no matir for those nesachim. They're looked at as a standalone korban, and accordingly, there's going to be no pigul on it if somebody would eat those nesachim. Even if the animal itself had a pigul problem, but if somebody ate the nesachim, there wouldn't be a chiyuv karis. On the other hand, chachamim disagree with that. Chachamim amrim af habayim in habayima. If somebody is bringing a korban nesachim and it comes together with an animal, if there is a pigul on that animal, if somebody goes and eats the nesachim, that animal and the dam of that animal, the blood on an animal, acts as a matir for that nesachim. Accordingly, the person who ate the wine, the flour, together with that, was accompanied, that was associated with that korban, with that animal, they would be chayev on eating of the nesachim, pigul and chayev karis. And now we have a similar machlokes when we have two components that come together. We just talked about an animal together with the nesachim. We're going to talk about the similar thing. If we have a log shemen shel metzorah, metzorah is part of the purification process, has to bring a korban asham, that's from an animal. And also they have to bring together a certain amount of shemen, a certain amount of oil. So those are brought together. Is that considered one, or are those considered two separate components? So this is a machlokes. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein chayavim alav mishum pigol. If even if the animal, the korban asham, is a pigol, but that is not a matir to the shemen. The shemen is viewed as independent of the asham, and accordingly, even if that asham is a pigul, according to Rabbi Shimon, that shemen, that oil component, is not, somebody eats that, is not going to be considered it's not a pigul on that, it's not going to be a chiyuv kares. On the other end, Rabbi Meir Omer, chayavin ala mishum pigul, that the Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir says somebody who would eat that shemen, that oil, there's a chiyuv kares, that's part of the pigul. Why? Shadam ha'asham matiro, because the blood of the asham that is done, this rika of the blood that's done for the korban itself, that acts as the matir for that shemen. That shemen, that oil, can't be brought unless it has the matir, unless it is, first you have this rika of the dam. Accordingly, they are intricately related, and then accordingly, because there is a matir to that shemen, if somebody indeed would eat that shemen on an animal, a korban asham that was a pigul, then the person would be chayev as well, kares, for eating that or drinking that shemen. And this is a general rule, v'chol shiyesh lo matirin, something else that permits it to be used. So something that you have a matir that comes before it, bein la adam, bein la mizbeach, it permits it. If something, a precursor, comes and permits an item to be eaten by a person or to be put on the mizbeach, accordingly, just like the dam, the blood that we talked about before, is the matir to be eating of the meat in the korban shlamim. If that's the case, chayavin ala mishum pigol, somebody is going to be chayav on it when you eat that other item, then there is going to be chiyuv pigol, there's going to be a chiyuv of kares. Mishnah Dalet is a direct continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we learned at the end, v'chol shiyesh lo matirin, anything that has something else that permits it to be used, if somebody would eat it, chayavin alav mishum pigul, if there's a pigul on that korban, and somebody ate that later item that was permitted, then there would be a chiyuv of kare. So we're going to build on that Mishnah Dalet and have various examples. We're going to start out two examples from the Korban Ola. Why the Korban Ola is unique is that it's completely burned on the Mizbeach. None of the meat is eaten from it. So we'll talk about a Korban Ola from an animal. Then we'll talk about a Korban Ola from a bird offering. Then we'll talk about the Korban Chatas. The Korban Chatas is different from the Ola in that the meat is eaten by the Kohanim. And then we'll talk about various other types of Korbanas and how this concept of applies, that if we have a Matir, if something permits something later down the line to happen, then indeed, if somebody eats that later item, there would be a problem. There would be a chiyuv of kares because it's a pigul. Now, we're assuming, obviously, that when the original korban is brought, that the person indeed has a thought of chutz lizmano. So that's our definition of a pigul. If the korban, for example, the korban ola, the kohen is bringing it and he has a thought at the shechita stage or other stages, the zrika stage, that he's going to do something chutz lizmano. So that's going to be a pigul. And we will see now the repercussions of that. So ha'ola, korban ola from an animal that's completely burnt, the meat is completely burnt as well. The dama, when somebody does a zrika, when the kohen does a zrika of the dam, the blood of a korban ola, that acts as a matir that permits et bisrael lemizbeach, that permits the meat to be put on the mizbeach. None of it is eaten again. Accordingly, because that meat has a matir, if somebody would eat that meat, then we have a chiyuv of pigul, that would be a chiyuv of kares for eating that meat. And in addition, the blood that is matir, that meat to be put on the mizbeach, onto the altar. Also, the orah lakohanim, it permits the or, the hide of a korban olah, even though none of the meat is eaten, it's all burnt on the mizbeach, but the hide goes to the kohanim, so only once you have the zrikas adam is that permitted. Next, another korban olah, the entire thing is burnt, but it's an olas ha'of, it's bought from a bird offering, korban olah, so again, the blood, Dama matir et bisarala mizbeach, the bringing of the blood, is what permits the burning of the meat of that bird on the mizbeach. Accordingly, if we have a chutz lizmano psul on the bringing of that off, or the bringing of that bird offering, if somebody thereafter would eat the meat, because that meat has a matir, the blood is matir, that meat to be put on the mizbeach. If somebody ate it, that would be a chiyuv of kares. Now we're going to turn to the korban chatas. The korban chatas is different from the ola in that when we have a korban chatas, the meat is indeed eaten. It's not eaten by anyone. It's eaten by the kohanim. So the chatas haof, if we have a korban chatas, a bird offering, dama, the bringing of the dam, of the blood on the mizbeach, matir, that permits at besara lekohanim, that permits the eating of the meat by the kohanim. Accordingly, if we have a chutz l'zman psul on that chatas ha'of, because that meat has a matir, the dam, the blood, accordingly there's a chiyuv of kares by eating that meat. And next, we're going to group all these together, but it represents five different korbanos. Parim hanisrafim usi'irim hanisrafim. Those are bowls that are burnt, literally bowls that are burnt, and si'irim, he-goats that are burnt. Bartanura explains that this is a litany of different types of korbanos. We'll just read them out but not explain them. Parim hanisrafim is the par that was brought by the Kohen Gadol for various sins. Upar ha'elam davar, shal tzibor, upar yom ha'kippurim. Those are the parim and israfim. And the se'irim, the he-goats that were burnt, were the se'ir shal yom ha'kippurim, or se'iri avodah zara. So these are korbanos that are chatas. They're chatas offerings, but they differ from the prior one that we discussed, in that the prior one, the chatas ha'of, the meat is eaten by the kohanim. Here, the meat is all burned, but not on a mizbeach. The Bartanura explains to us what happens with these parim hanisrafim, or se'irim hanisrafim. We'll go through this quickly. The parts of the animal was actually, they were divided up in three. Daman ta'un hazaya lifnim. So I'm reading in the Bartanura, the blood was spritzed, the zrika, but it was done not on the normal mizbeach that was outside in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, but rather it was on the mizbeach hazachav, the altar that was inside, that was in the heichal itself, in the sanctuary. So the zrika was done first, and that zrika was necessary to permit other things, as we'll see shortly. So if the emurim, the innards, were brought not on that inside mizbeach, but on the typical mizbeach outside in the courtyard, that is when the emurim, the innards, were burnt from these korbanos chatas, this parim asrayim, asrayim asrafim, and the rest of the meat was not burnt on the mizbeach. It was burnt in the Beis Hadeshin, which was a place outside of the Yerushalayim. So back to the Mishnah, parim anisrafim, usim anisrafim, all of these bowls that were fully burnt, and the he-goats that were totally burnt, these korbanas, daman, in all these instances, matir es emurehen lekareb. The dam had to be spritzed on the inside, on the altar on the inside, in order to permit the bringing of the emurim on the mizbeach that was outside in the courtyard. So in other words, if there was a machshavas of chutz lizmano, if when one of these animals were brought as a korban, and the kohen doing the avoda had the thoughts that he's going to do something chutz lizmano, that would be a pigul, and if somebody would eat those emurim, because those emurim have a matir, there would be a chiyuv of kares. Now, we have a disagreement now. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he disagrees on, specifically not on all the points in the Mishnah, but when it comes to the parim hanisrafim, usim hanisrafim in particular. So the last categories of korbanos that we just mentioned, he disagrees on this. He says you don't have a pigul there. He says, kol she'eno al hamizbeach achitzon kishlamim, unless the zrika is done, just like the korban shlamim on the mizbeach achitz, on the mizbeach outside, ein chayavin alav mishum pigoy. There's no problem of pigoy. What's going on here? is that we learn this whole concept of pigul from the Korban Shlamim. That's what we discussed at the introduction to the prior Mishnah, the Korban Shlamim. That's where we learn the pigul. And when you bring the Korban Shlamim, the zrika of the dam is done on the normal Mizbeach, outside, not inside. So Rabbi Shimon is telling us that we have to look to our precedent, the precedent of the Shlamim, zrika, in order to have a pigul. By definition, the zrika has to be done on the outside Mizbeach. And when we are talking about the Parim HaNisrafim, Misrim HaNisrafim, as explained, the zrika is done on the inside Mizbeach. Accordingly, we can have a classic pigul. So there, if somebody indeed would eat the imurim on the from these korbanos, indeed there would not be a chiyuv of kares. Mishnah Hay discusses the korbanos brought by non-Jews to the Beis HaMikdash. How do our laws of pigul and the like apply? So the Mishnah says as follows: Kodshei goyim, the korbanos brought by the non-Jews. There's a specific pasuk in the Torah that says that we can accept nedarim and nedavos, korbanos from non-Jews, but they are treated differently according to Rebbe Meir. Ein chayavim aleihem mishum pigul. There's no chiyuv on pigul, even if the inappropriate thoughts were thought in the bringing of that korban, that will not cause that korban to be a pigul, such that if somebody ate the meat, he would be chayav kares. And not only isn't there a chiyuv of pigul, according to Rebbe Meir, but also nosar. If it was from a kosher korban and somebody came and ate the meat outside of the allotted time, that's nosar, there would not be a chiyuv of kares. And also vitame, if there was a kosher korban and somebody ate of the meat while he was tame, also there's not going to be a chiyuv kares. That's a third thing. And the fourth point, how it differs from a korban brought by a yid, by a Jew, vashochtan bachutz pater divrei Rebbe Meir, and somebody who shechted that animal outside of its proper place, if it was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash area, for example, there would also not be a chiyuv of kares, unlike the shechita of a korban brought by a Jew, that would be chayav kares. That is the opinion of Rebbe Meir, as we see that the korban of a non-Jew is treated very differently. Nonetheless, Rebbe Yossi Mechayev, Rebbe Yossi looks at the pasuk that enables a non-Jew to bring the korbanos. It says specifically, asher yakrivu la Hashem la'ola, that this korban that's brought as a korban la'ola, it's also la Hashem, and accordingly, Rebbe Yossi is of the view that all of these four items that would be psulim for a Jew are also a psul for the korban brought by a non-Jew. So that would be pigul and nosar, tame, and shchita outside of where it should be done. Continuing in a somewhat related but unrelated area, it says dvarim she'ein chayavim aleihem mishum pigul. We had a whole list of items that there is not going to be a chiyuv on pigul. That was in Mishnah Gimel, this whole list that we had of the komates and the ketores and this and that. So the Mishnah is coming to teach us that even though on that list in Mishnah Gimel that you're not going to be chayev kares for pigul on them, however, nonetheless, chayavim aleihem mishum nosar, there would be a chiyuv of nosar if somebody ate those items outside of the allotted time, mishum tame, or if somebody tame ate them, with the exception of chutz min adam, with the exception of the blood that was listed in Mishnah Gimel. We said that there's no pigul on the dam because the dam is the matir. Other things don't matir it. So we said there's no pigul on the dam. But here we're saying that not only would there not be pigul, but you also wouldn't be chayav for nosar and tameh. But the rest of the items on the list in Mishnah Gimel, like the komets and the ketores, although there's no chiyuv of pigul, but there indeed would be a chiyuv of nosar and tameh. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. When it comes to tumah on that list in Mishnah Gimel, we just said that you're going to be chayav for tumah. If somebody who is tameh came and ate those items on the list in Mishnah Gimel, there would be a chiyuv of kares. Rabbi Shimon is going to distinguish. When we look back in Mishnah Gimel, there are going to be basically two categories, according to Rabbi Shimon. Certain items on the list are going to be edible. For example, if we had a korban mincha, so the flour is going to be edible, and certain things are not edible. So Rabbi Shimon is going to say, when it comes to tumah, if the thing is edible and somebody eats it while he's tameh, then there's going to be a chiyuv of kares. However, if somebody eats something that is inedible, even though it's tameh, there's not going to be a chiyuv of kares. So Rabbi Shimon says as follows: Rabbi Shimon Omer b'davar shadarkan le'achal, the items that would typically be eaten, for example, the komets that was listed in Mishnah Gimel, or the minchas kohanim, the mincha, the flour offering brought by the kohanim, those are typically eaten. Accordingly, somebody tame indeed would be chayav kares. However, aval, items that are inedible, for example, kagona eitzim, wood that is brought to burn the karbanas, v'halivona, v'haktoris, and the incense, the frankincense, the incense, ein chayavim aleh mishum tuma, even if somebody tame did eat them because they're typically not eaten, there would be no chiyuv of kares, even though that person is tame. Mishnah Vav, the final Mishnah of our Perek, discusses not what we've been discussing a lot since the beginning of the Masechta, the negative intentions, the negative thoughts that can invalidate the korban, but rather what are the positive thoughts that somebody should think when bringing a korban. Now, indeed, as we've discussed, the owner of the korban, if he's a non-kohen, can do the shechita, but the other parts, the other different phases have to be done by a kohen, so the kabbalah, the holacha, and the zrika. So it's as follows, the person doing those various phases should have in mind the following, l'shem shita dvarim hazevach nizbach, the korban should be brought, literally the shechita should be slaughtered with these six intentions in mind. Number one, l'shem zevach, the specific korban that's being brought. So if it's brought as an ola, then the person doing the shechita and thereafter should have in mind, I'm doing this for a korban ola, or if it's a shlami, mashlami. So l'shem zevach. Number two is l'shem zoveach. It should be brought in mind with the owner being in mind. If it's the owner that's doing the shechita, it's a non-issue. But if somebody else is doing it at the shechita phase, and certainly thereafter a kohen doing it, should have in mind the zoveach, the person who's bringing that korban. Number three, l'shem Hashem. That is an offering to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We should have that positive intention in mind. Number three, l'shem ishim. That the intention is that it's to be fully burnt. Any parts that are going on the Mizbeach, not that you can do it partially, but to have l'shem ishim, that they should be fully burnt on the Mizbeach. Number five, l'shem reach, to bring the special aroma, l'shem reach nichoach, as the psukim say, so that should bring the aroma, and also l'shem nichoach, reach nichoach. Number six is l'shem richoach, that there should be a source of pleasure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are fulfilling his commandments, and bringing the korban, and additional thoughts that should be have in mind. And number seven, in fact, when somebody is bringing v'hachatas v'ashan, these are different korbanos that are brought for different types of sins. L'shem chet, the person bringing it should have in mind the specific sin that these korbanos are being brought to bring repentance from. So that is the view of the Tana Kama. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi has a different take on it. This Af mi shalohaya belibo l'shem echa mikom elu kasher. Anyone who did not think those things. So even if you didn't have in mind one or more or all of those positive intentions that we mentioned in the reisha that you should have in mind, it's still going to be a kosher korban. And in fact, Rabbi Yossi is saying even more than that. Indeed, you should not try to have those active thoughts. The concern here is because if you try to have those positive thoughts, but you make a mistake, then you're going to invalidate the korban. If, for example, you're bringing it instead for the wrong person or whatever, it's not going to count. So he's concerned here, shehu tanai beistin. So in fact, Rabbi Yossi adds on, this is the condition of beistin that they instituted, that in fact, it's preferable to not be thinking about these positive ways that we're bringing the korban, these positive intentions, because we may make a mistake and cause a bigger problem. Accordingly, the beistin said, we should just bring it parv, not have these thoughts, certainly don't have the negative thoughts that we've been talking about throughout the Masechta, that it's for the wrong balim and it's for the wrong, for the shulchutz the mekomo, chutz the zmano, but just have in mind, you bring, you have none of that in mind, nothing positive, nothing negative. And the concern here, explains Rabbi Yossi, is shein hamachshava holeches ela achara oved. Even if you have the baal, the owner has all the best thoughts in mind, he has all the best intentions, he's thinking these six things, and if he's thinking all of it right, but the person who's doing the avoda, if somebody's doing the shechita other than the owner, and they're afterward, it's a kohen that's doing it, if they're having the wrong thoughts, even if the owner has all the right thoughts, it doesn't matter what the owner is thinking, because again, sheina machshava holechas, what we're concerned about when having the right or wrong machshava is the person who is doing the avoda itself. And indeed, if they think wrong, that will cause us a problem.